Would anyone want to hum a theme song?
Even though this isn't like humming, but whatever.
Hello and welcome to the RMN podcast attempt. I am Shinan.
Emphasis on attempt.
Your host for today, and with me is old Pat, who is going to talk about his game that I have forgotten the name of.
I don't know. Let's talk about Psyclock.
Psyclock. Does it have any relation with Lock C?
No.
Okay.
Or yes, who knows?
Who knows? Well, that's what we're going to find out today. So,
yes,
old Pat, you are here to pimp your game, but also we want to know more about you. So,
yes,
if you could say something about you, you know, where you're from, who you are, anything.
Okay. I'm Pat. I'm from Italy. I'm currently an IT student who's taking part in a very lousy job. And I've got a lousy job. And I'm also a hobbyist game designer, game developer. I make and play games since for as long as I can remember. I started when I was really very, very, very young. I was attending elementary school. That's when I first started considering making games for myself.
What made you consider making them? Like, why are you making games?
I started when, I mean, I already was a very hardcore gamer back then. I always loved to tell stories. I tried to make comics. I tried to write books, of course, questionable qualities. And then I had this cousin, which studied for IT. When I asked him what was his job, what was he doing in his life, he said, jokingly, I make video games. And I believed him, and that's when I started to. I was there with my friend saying, "Ah, he makes video games. We have to make him do our video games." So we started writing stories. We were already doing some game design, more or less, and we were writing like game ideas, things like that, because we wanted my cousin to make them. The day never came. He never made those games.
Oh no!
But I started considering I could try to make those games. So I started to surf the web for a way to do it. I mean, my dad helped me with that because I didn't have access to the internet when I was very young, and I started to approach. I started to use the first tools that I found. I remember finding Dark Basic. It was a very difficult programming language for an elementary school kid.
I thought it was like,
I need to write a story and the game will make itself. When when I saw the IDE, the framework, I said, I could just write the story and then the game will make itself. So there was this night. Then I pressed play, syntax error. And I was like, no! What a crappy tool! So that was my very, very brief experience with Dark Basic. Then I found Game Maker. I downloaded that, and I think it was the fifth or sixth version of Game Maker. It wasn't still Game Maker Studio, and I actually started to make something with that. I made a platform game, questionable qualities that one too.
How old were you now?
How old I am now?
No, when you were making your first games.
I don't remember. I remember I was still in elementary school, so I say 11, 12 years old. No,
okay,
that's middle school, maybe. Okay, it was around that age.
Yeah.
10, 11, 12, whatever. I was attending elementary school. I made a platform game, a very lousy one, and then I made an RPG, which was very lousy, that one as well. it was like that. Then, after that, I found RPG Maker, and that changed things a lot. I mean, I started using 2K, RPG Maker 2K. That tool opened a whole new world because it was easy to use.
You could basically write your story and press play and it would happen.
Yeah, yeah, that's basically what I wanted at the time. Like a game, a tool that let me just write the story and play it. I mean, giving me the ability to make a game without too much effort. It wasn't effortless because even if it was easy to use, I was still a newbie, so I didn't have the knowledge about how to use switches, how to use variables. I mean, I didn't even know how to make a chest open up and stay open. So you could just take 99 potions because it wasn't switches weren't implemented. that's when I decided to surf the web for games. I remember I played a lot of games like The Way, Free the Hard Way, games that I think everyone here knows, A Blurred Line. I played those games. I loved those games. I loved them a lot. And I also studied those games. I mean, since at the time, games made with 2K and 2K3 weren't encrypted, you could just open them up. So I opened those games and began to study how to make those things, like how to work with switches. And games like The Way and had a lot of custom things implemented, like The Way had the dual system with the which was like rock, paper, scissors, something like that. And I began to study that. And little by little, I began to understand how to make games with RPG Maker. That's the beginning, the prologue.
And how did it work out if your English wasn't very good at that point?
Wait, what?
You if mean, your English wasn't was very good earlier, how did it work out when you searched stuff? Or is this fairly recent?
I mean, my English was... good. I mean, I could understand English back then too because I remember I used to watch a lot of movies with subtitles, things like that, and little by little, minor knowledge of English. I managed to acquire a minor knowledge of the language. I'm still pretty crappy at English, but I can understand things.
You can understand the tutorials.
Yes, I could understand tutorials too, more or less. I mean, let's say that I learned more by just working on the games than... I mean, when I started to study games like The Way and games like that, I learned by just watching what they did, just looking at the code and at how they made things.
Yeah.
Tutorials themselves, I wasn't still very good at understanding those.
Have you ever tried to make a game in Italian?
Well, yes. I mean, my first games were in Italian, and a lot of them were made in Italian. And in fact, I have like 3-4 games in RMN, but in reality, I've made like a lot of games. A lot of them.
So you have about 100 games.
And all of them pretty crappy. In fact, I'm fortunate enough to have come here with some discrete quality games instead of the ones I made back then, because, my God.
Well, you know, they wouldn't have made it through the queue, perhaps.
That's something, that's something good. That's some of the things I like about RMN. There's always... some a lot of control over the queue, to let people to let. I mean, I wouldn't. If projects like mine went there, oh my god!
So also, so when did you join the RMN community? If you did,
I remember I lurked a lot during the day back in the days. I joined for real in 2016 when I was creating the English version of Karma Flow, and so I decided to join in the. And upload the create the game profile page, upload the game there. And I mean, I was impressed by how active the community was. I used to be in a lot of Italian communities back in the days, and they're all slowly dying. RPG Maker communities here in Italy are dying. So when I saw how active RMN was, I decided to stay. I was impressed by the fact that you even had admins who watched over a queue, who because we didn't even have that. I mean, people didn't care. Let's say you always have new events, new. So it's pretty active community. I like that, so I decided to stay. I still wasn't very active when I joined. I became much more active as I joined Discord in 2017. That's when I became more involved with the community.
So how was the Italian community like before you left?
I mean,
when it was still maybe a little bit active.
When it was a little bit active, it was great. I mean, I met a lot of interesting people. We had a lot of fun. We made a lot of games. We made a lot of events, contests, everything. We had a lot of fans, a lot of fun. I grew a lot thanks to the other guys, and thanks to the people I met there. And it was a really good time. Yeah, good times we had. But in the end, little by little, people began to have other priorities, and RPG making Italy was slowly dying. Its communities, at least.
What kind of terrible priorities could they have that isn't gaming?
Yeah, I mean, I really don't understand them. I was like, I don't understand you guys. Why?
Why do you abandon me?
This is game mech.
This is life.
Don't abandon me here. Come back.
So, also, now that we've done your backstory, sort of, I guess, unless you have some special thing that you really want to say about your backstory.
No, I think I'm done.
Yes. What's your villain superpower?
My villain superpower, as in if I were a villain?
Aren't you a villain?
I am.
Yes.
You so find me
what
out.
What is your superpower?
My superpower is... Game Mac. I really can't think about anything
else. Yeah, I understand. Also, the question I really wanted to ask is, since you are a game maker, what are your strengths? Like, what's the thing that you feel like you know how to do in game making, and what are your weaknesses? What are you not as good at?
Okay. I think I'm pretty good at... I'd say creating stories and characters and, you know, setting the game's mood. I mean, recreating the right atmosphere and setting all these things up. I think I can do that. I think I'm pretty good at giving my characters some depth to my stories as well. I think I'm good at... you know, as of today, I think I know RPG Maker like the palm of my hand. So when it comes to creating systems and mechanics and things like that, I think I can do that. So that's something I'm good at. My weaknesses are actually a lot. And a lot.
It usually is.
I don't think I'm that good at mapping. I think I can create, detailed level, but I don't think I can make logical ones. I mean, it's kind of, I mean, I can create logical levels, but sometimes I make some mistakes when I do the walls of a house, for example. I mean, it's not perfect. I mean, it could be a better mapping. And I'm also really weak when it comes to mapping cities, which is really bad since most of my games are set in modern cities. That's something I'm not that good at. I mean, I also try to be as methodical as I can, but I lose myself along the way more often than not. So sometimes plans I made don't work out. I can't stay true to some deadlines I decided to. I mean, I try to set myself some deadlines, but most of the times I just can't stay true to these deadlines. So that's another one of my big weaknesses.
Do you always do, like, if you start working on something and then you start going, what if I added this and this and didn't work on the thing I'm supposed to work on?
God damn it, yes. Yes. I'm usually always thinking about new things to add, new mechanics. And, you know, the inner me would say, wait, let's save this idea for another project. Maybe it could be much more useful to you. But I really want to implement this now. And then it becomes a mess.
Because, what's the worst idea that you made on the side?
The worst idea I made during the development, you mean?
Like a side thing that you started making. What's the worst one?
One of the worst, I mean, this is something a mistake I always do, where I make a game, it still misses its skeleton, the basic outline, and I'm already there making portraits, for instance, which is not something I should do at that moment, but it's something I'm doing. So that doesn't quite work when you still miss the meat of the basic outline. I always do things that I should do when the game reaches a certain phase in during development. I mean, portraits, things like that, animation for sprites. It's something I should do later on, and sometimes I do them when I still misses the core mechanic, something like that.
And now, while we were doing this, there might have been a bling somewhere. So now we have our second guest have joined. Let's see if we can hear it or if we have to cut all of this out while we start with the technical problems.
No, I just noticed you were doing it and I hadn't seen a ping, so I just quietly joined.
Yeah,
hello,
yeah,
I'm from Maru.
Okay. We were just testing to get ourselves warmed up, sort of.
Okay, that's all right.
So, the question is this, though. In my questions, old Pat, I would now come to the part where you're supposed to pimp your game. But we could do the Fomar thing first, and then you pimp your game, and then Fomar can pimp a game.
Yeah, I'm okay with it.
If that works out. So, Fomar 0153, as you are properly called.
Sorry, Fomar's fine. It was taken on the forum where I originally registered, so I added some numbers to it.
So what does the numbers mean?
In the UK, for exams, when you're in secondary school, you have an exam candidate number, and that was my candidate number for my...
Okay.
Yeah, nothing
all
exciting.
Right. So, let's do this. Old Pat, what was the first question I asked you?
You asked me about my backstory.
Oh, yes. So, Fomar, your backstory. Tell us about yourself.
Okay, I live in England. I got into RPG Maker when I was, I want to say, 13. I first heard about it during a PE lesson from a friend. and then I downloaded Akumaker 2K and 2K3, enjoyed them, but didn't ever really do anything with it. And then RPG Maker XP came out, at which point I sort of got into scripting a little, which was also because I wasn't a programmer before RPG Maker. It sort of led me to become a programmer, which was useful for later life, doing degrees, etc. And now, after far too many years feeling old, I've made lots of games in RPG Maker. Anything else?
So, what made you decide that you wanted to make games?
I think I'd always wanted to. Even when I was very young, I always loved games that had level editors in or things like that with the user content. And then I enjoyed RPGs ever since I'd first played. Well, Pokemon was probably my first RPG. I don't think it was any more depth than that. It was like I had lots of ideas like designing board games as a small child and then progressed to video games.
What kind of board games?
Terrible ones. I'm glad I can't even remember in detail. Certainly lots of knockoffs of existing ones, like Cluedo, but with my own house and my brother as the victim.
That sounds amazing.
Well, I'm glad that they don't exist anymore. They will have been long, probably before the age of recycling, gone to land.
You'll have to remake them in RPG Maker.
I doubt it'd be more. I don't think it'd be that fun. I mean, everyone knows what Cluedo is. But I did trick my brother once. Went into a room, asked for two cards I already had. Because we played the rules where you couldn't do Cluedo after you'd seen the cards, you had to wait your next turn to make it last a bit longer. And she went Cluedo on his turn and said all three things I'd just done because no one had shown me any cards. And got him out straight away.
All right, so what was the next question? I got sidetracked by board games now. So what are your strengths as a developer? Like, what is the thing that you feel like this is the thing I'm good at? And what are your weaknesses?
Strength's definitely the programming side of RPG Maker, sort of making the systems. Possibly weaknesses. Nobody ever likes my mapping or my graphics. And I can do eventing, but it's the thing that's most likely to make me cut content, so I have to do less eventing. I don't know. If it was original creation, music's my weakest, probably. That kind of vaguely answer it.
What were some of your earlier games, going back to them again? Like, I assume they no longer exist, but what were they like?
Well, my very, very first one, it was actually finished, but thankfully I had the sense not to put it on the internet. I just put me and my friends from school into an RPG. It was terrible. Naturally, I was the mage. Just at first 2K game ever. It's dreadful, awful. Terrible parallaxes. Lasted about 20 minutes. The first one that really actually ever got released was probably Dead Moon Knight. So it took me over 10 years of starting projects, doing a lot of scripting work, get to the point where I have to do map number 2, and that's usually where they died. Oh, no, hold on. Before Dead Moon Knight was In Search of Clues, I take it all back, which was when me and Indra teamed up. For some reason, the combination of us meant that actually completed games for the first time ever, or second time ever.
And also, how did you find RMN? Like, was that one of the early finds, or were you lost in time and space and dabbled in other communities?
My first one was RM. It was probably rmxp.net. Let's get it right. Because then it became .org. Well, it didn't become .org. .org came because Lord Gradient was far away. I can't remember when I joined RMN. I joined a lot of communities in the early days. And I think didn't RMN, when it was sort of rebuilt into what it is now, kind of you had to re-register. So I don't know if, because that happened at probably when I went to uni, I didn't re-register something like 2009. I can't remember exactly though.
All right. So, Old Pat, did I ask you anything that I haven't asked Fomar yet?
I think you asked him pretty much everything you asked me.
So, that's the basics down then, I assume. Unless there's something else that you really want to talk about, like, think, oh my god, this, I need to say this.
We're all old.
I'm not. I am very young.
I am really?
A child.
I'm clearly old, as my nickname states.
I feel like the common thing that I found in this is that both of you think your mapping is terrible, so we should probably, the main topic should be mapping, right?
No.
What? What?
So now we come to the portion where you pimp your games. So if old Pat maybe start, then if you wanted to pimp your game, pimp your Loxy fan game, I think that's the one that you wanted to.
My Loxy fan game?
Yes, yes. That's all I know.
Yeah.
My shtick in this is that I've not played any of your games, so I have no idea what your games are. So why should I play your game, old Pat?
Okay, so I think I'm going to start by describing the game. So I think you should play it because it's a really short game. So worst comes to worst, you just threw away 1 hour of your life. The game is an adventure game, puzzle adventure game. Actually, it does have puzzles and all, but they are not really that difficult. It's kind of structured as a Resident Evil game would be structured. Like you need something to progress, and you have to do stuff in order to clear the way and go ahead.
And you walk back and forth and back and forth with statues.
Yeah, more or less. I mean, you have just one level, and you have to basically figure out the order of things in order to move along, go forward. The game is called Psylocke. It's a game about this guy called Locke, which is not Locke Z. This person is a psych, a very peculiar being. He is capable of possessing people by merging with their psyche. And by doing so, he can merge into their memories and control them in order to do certain stuff that only those people could do. So, together with Dr. Heidi, Locke has to escape from the Cele. Cele is a unit that is trying to capture him in order to study him. This unit is led by a colonel named Jade Ickesen. And the game is all about these two people trying to escape. And it's just a one-hour-long game made for the Dim Roulette event of RMN. I got assigned with the Yourself team. So I decided to make the game based on the concept of oneself. So the game is structured around the idea of, Freud's structure of the psyche. So you have the ID, the ego, and the superego. And the whole story is structured in a way to follow this pattern, like... you have Locke with completely blank, is in a completely blank slate, and he has to regain his memories. And by doing, and he does so by merging with other people and experiencing what they experienced through this through his powers. His inner self becomes basically learns stuff, and he grows. And the game is all about the difference between these three different part of yourself. So, I mean, that's the game in a nutshell.
And so, how does this? How is this turned into gameplay? This whole idea of yourself.
Yeah, using the abilities that Locke has, you have to. Merge with certain people in order to do certain stuff. For instance, if you merge with someone who is slim, you can use this certain someone to access places he couldn't because he's much more built than that person. You can also navigate inside people's mind palaces in order to learn about the game's backstory, or in order to reveal clues about how to proceed and gain various pieces of the story in this way. And so the game is all about trying not to get spotted by the silly soldiers that are currently looking out for you. I mean, they are going to try to find you and kill you, not to capture you and not kill you. And so the game has also has a stealth system in which you don't have to get spotted. So you have to clear out all the... you need to clear out the area in terms of getting all the things done in order to progress without letting them find you. And that's basically how the game plays out. You possess someone, you manage to use that someone to do something, and then you proceed without getting spotted by the silly soldiers.
And now the most important question. How many people do you murder in this game?
You don't actually murder... You don't murder no one. It's not a game where you battle folks. You just possess them in order to do stuff and then proceed. No, you actually murder someone, but using your special abilities. I mean, if you take control of someone, you can then, if he is armed, you can then kill someone else, some of the cell soldiers, in order to proceed. But yes, you kill someone.
All right, so I mean, this game sounds almost interesting. I almost want to play it, but you know I won't.
Nah, damn it.
Even if it's only an hour.
I knew it wasn't good enough. I had to explain it better.
But it sounds really interesting. So it's almost... I almost clicked the download button, but then I realized that... Will I actually...
Will I or will I not? I say not. No.
You know, I did actually think it was about the forum member because of all the jokes in the forums about the name.
It's actually about Loxi. Loxi is dust
maybe
control.
Maybe that's the plot twist. Maybe it's all about him, maybe.
Maybe we never did understand Freud.
I think you'll know only if you play the game.
That's true. I will find out by playing the game. I tried to download it now, and it said the file already exists, so I apparently have downloaded it previously.
What the fuck?
But I haven't installed it, or unzipped it.
Damn it.
So, Fomar, I don't know which game you are wanting to pimp from your list of games.
I know, I just got the list up and picked one. Let's go for the most, well, not the most recent, one I did with Indra, which was for the Indie Game Maker Contest back in 2017. Abyssal Shine Never Melts. I'm going to go with...
So this is like an actual... Okay, right. You sell it. I don't know.
Okay. It was sort of our first RPG Maker MV game together, and also last at the moment. It's not as complicated gameplay-wise as some of my interest games had gotten. So it's a bit simpler on that front. But it did mean I had time for once to do some dungeon puzzles as opposed to just doing gameplay systems that were for the battles mainly. So you have sort of current, like water current mazes, which aren't as bad as they sound, I promise. For the first sort of dungeon area, which is kind of a nice, gorgeous beach. Indra actually had time also to go over my not so pretty dungeon maps and make them look a lot better. The second dungeon involves sort of, you have to explore, it's another maze in a cave. Final puzzle's not a maze, it's just sliding ice puzzles and fireballs. Back to the cave. You collect these sort of, it's a bit like magnets, but they're not really, it's not really magnetism. You get a color and it'll get rid of roots that are the same color. So you can sort of explore through the maze and you have to swap the colours around, combine them to get through that cave. The final puzzle is probably one of the more fun ones, which is involves sliding floors in a few places. Plus you have to direct fire to melt through ice to clear paths, which includes sending fireballs from one room to another. Gameplay-wise, it's probably on par with Dead Moon Knight for complexity in the battles. You have four characters, a fire mage, I shouldn't stop saying, a sort of hunter, a geomancer, and then later on a spell thief.
So it's called Nevermelt. Does that mean there's a lot of ice in the game?
Kind of. It's the MacGuffin that you're searching for. And Abyssal Shine is the organization that two of the party members work.
So the Nevermelt is an item.
Yeah. I should probably have actually told you the story. Basically, the Nevermelt, very dangerous, powerful artifact. The Abyssal Shine's guarded it for centuries, and it goes missing. So you're out looking for it when you hit a storm at sea, monsters attack. You end up, the main character of Evander, getting thrown overboard, wake up and get nursed back to health by someone named Rhea. Eventually, one of your associates finds you, Anwar, and then the three of you set out to recover the missing Nevermelt ice. And eventually, there is ice. When you get to the final area, it has lots of side quests throughout the game. One involving, from the start to finish, involving collecting shark teeth, which upgrades one of your most useful items. The final character joins was because I wanted another party member to play around with. So she really doesn't have much to do with the plot. Indra sort of gave in and let me have her. And she's basically a blue mage, but she steals the spells rather than having to see them. And eventually they do find the artifact and stuff happens.
So how does this game's themes, how do they relate to Freud?
Well, I never actually studied psychology. My knowledge of Freud goes to looking at what in the world ego, superego, and ID was when I played for Mortis Avant-Garde. That's about my knowledge of Freud.
So how did you implement those things in the game?
I didn't. psychology wasn't a theme of Abyssal Shine. Theme-wise, we didn't really set out with any themes. We just set out to make a fun game because we hadn't made the game together in a few years.
And then also, how many people do you murder in this game?
Is it zero? You murder a lot of animals and sentient beings, but not people. As such, because there's a golem that you possibly mortally wound. You don't actually have many NPCs. There's a mermaid who acts as your shopkeeper, who pops up from pools of water now and then to restock your items. But mostly it's just got the four characters who interact.
This is now the quiet moment where I think about what I should say next.
You could just tell me you're not going to play it. You haven't got the time for a probably 3.5-4 hour RPG.
Oh, it's so long. So long. Anything over 20 minutes, I know it's going to be... Why? I could play Rocket League. I could always play Rocket League.
Come on! Come on, you!
I should have pimped Sunken Spire. That can last up to 10 hours.
10 hours. That's more game than I ever play. No, that's not true. I'm just making things up now. I will say this game sounds less interesting than the LockZ fan game.
And that's because there's no LockZ in it.
Yeah, is there a LockZ in this game?
No.
I actually find it much more interesting because there's no. No, I think it's interesting, actually.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying that I think the LockZ fan game that I shouldn't be calling LockZ, it's called PsychLock.
Yes.
Yes, so people don't go looking for LockZ fan game when they listen to
but
this.
But as I said, the plot twist is always around the corner.
Yeah, but if you say what the twist is, then I don't know if it counts as a twist anymore.
God damn it. You're right.
But this is a more gameplay folk. No, the other one was also gameplay folk. You are great at gameplay things. I can see this imagination just going, and I go, yeah, this is why I don't make games.
What?
You did make games at one time.
Yeah, why do I have to make these things? Yeah. Let others do it.
Others do it so much better than I would ever do. So come on. I will have to ask one thing about both of your games. What's the worst thing about these two games? So if Old Pat starts, what's the worst game about Psy-Clock?
What's the worst thing about the game?
Yes.
Mapping and it's very short. I mean, some people thought
it was...
I'm not
sure that's a bad thing if it's short.
Yeah, some people thought it was because maybe they thought it could use much more plot, as in some backstory, some more backstory of things that happens. I don't know. I think the mapping is weakest point.
And Former, what's the weakest point of Abyssal Shine Nevermelt?
Cannot read property blend modes of undefined. Definitely not for MD for that. We did eventually solve it, but I don't know if we ever uploaded a fixed one. Or possibly the plot gets a bit vague at the end, so lots of people were confused by what kind of caused the game's initial, the item to go missing in the first place. That bit's very vague. And possibly it should have been a bit more less subtle.
Yeah, we all know that subtlety is something that is not supposed to be in video games.
I think it can be there. The fact is that, it works when your game has a lot of recognition, because then you have all the fans that try to read what you were trying to do, and then you have a wiki with all the things they discovered. But if there's no notoriety, it's difficult to have those things. But I like subtlety in video games. That's, I like it a lot.
Just not in the main plot.
Yeah, you mean like making the main events as easy to read as possible, and then just leave the subtext around, something like that.
Yeah, it's subtext for the events. Yeah.
So I feel like now I'm at a loss here, because I feel like you pimped your games, and I have done my thing. So if there's anything else that you feel like I should have done, like how awful am I at this? So please tell me, and I will ask these questions.
I think you should game mech.
And
play our games.
But I am making this podcast instead.
Well, after the guest, you can game mech.
Even if it is Adventure Game Studio.
It's Adventure Game Studio is the best thing out there. So, we should talk about mapping. That was the topic for today, I think.
Sorry, I have to be somewhere. Bye!
And that's the end of the show, guys. So, is there anything... is there some topic that you feel like you should want to talk about?
That's fine. We can talk about mapping. I don't mind. I mean,
yeah,
mostly,
yeah.
My mapping's not great because I don't want to do it, and I've got dead... Usually, most of my games for contests, and I enjoy the gameplay side, whereas the maps are just there for the game. So I don't want to spend a lot of time on them. So it's usually why my maps look quite plain. I like to blame it on that.
I feel the pain. Yeah, that's precisely what I think too. I mean, for me, the mapping is... I try to create maps thinking about the level design. So I try to make them as a way to enhance the gameplay, but by doing so, I lack the... I don't know, I don't make indoors as realistic as they should be, something like that. I mean, some misplacement here and there, things like that. So sometimes they can look ugly and illogical.
So what is it actually about the mapping that makes you feel like you are not great at it? Is it sort of like, is it the details that are lacking, or is it clarity? Or is it something else?
Well, I could use as an example one of the first maps you see on Karma Flow. As you enter the apartment, and that's something I didn't think about. My friend spotted that, and I was like, oh my god, how did I not think about that? I put the various doors for each apartment on the center of the room. And it's kind of illogical, because how can you have window if you have like the apartments on the center of the buildings? I mean, there were apartments around the buildings and there were apartments on the center as well, but you can't have those there. I mean, how can you put windows? So that's some of the things I sometimes just don't. These are the sort of mistakes I make when doing mapping, the mapping and all.
And Fomar?
Let me think for a sec. I'll go back to windows. I would just avoid them if you can. It depends on the stuff to put on the wall. I mean, I think my mapping isn't awful if I take the time to do it. I just won't. Because it's sort of like I finish a map and I still got another 20 to make. Also, Indra spoiled me for years, but I did maps for dungeon puzzles. She'd go back and prettify them, and then I would go back and fix whatever she broke in them.
So it's mostly that. Yeah, also, it's time consuming.
Oh, sorry.
It is. And I always leave it to the last minute, that and eventing. It's not the bit of game development I enjoy most, by far.
What were you about to say, old Pat?
No, I mean, I feel the same as Fomar. That and the fact that you also have to like understand the tile sets you're going to use when you like take a new resource pack or something, and you have this new tile set that you have to understand in order to make good maps. If you don't understand how to make some tricks with them, you can't just make maps that are varied enough. So that's another thing that, you know, like, I need to read the tile set as well before I start mapping the game. Something like that.
I hate setting up tiles, but sets in the database. It's not even that time consuming. I just find it really laborious.
Yeah. I mean, you the fact that you had to read that and understand how they work is... I mean, if you want to make beautiful maps with a lot of variety in them, you need to do this. Which resources you take.
And then all the passability issues.
And the passability issues and all that.
Well, if we're done on mapping, I have a question for Sheenan.
Okay.
Is there any RPG Maker game you have particularly enjoyed that was an RPG?
Thing is, I used to play them like 15 years ago. And I remember like some of them were okay. But at that time, I also sort of moved away from JRPGs as a whole, and I felt like they all were the same. So, I mean, I might have enjoyed them, but I'm a terrible person because I am on a JRPG-making site, but I don't really enjoy classic JRPGs.
What?
That's
I think it's understandable. Most of the people here either make horror games or... So I think there's not like so much love of JRPGs like there were in the days. But
it's why script request forums are filled with make RPG Maker this other genre of video game.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I like RPGs, so that's why I like essentially like adventure games, because those are RPGs with the dialogue choices. And to me, the RPGs are dialogue choices. That's where the real meat is of role-playing.
Yeah, when you have a role in that game. I mean, when you make your own choices.
Yeah. But that's one of those genre-defining discussions that I sometimes had like 15 years ago. And I've now sort of understood that it's pretty pointless to talk about in those ways. But I don't remember any specific... I played the old game Final Fallacy or something, and it was a lot of fun. But that's...
Final Fallacy?
Yeah, it was like a parody game of Final Fantasy, but it was called Final Fallacy.
Final Fallacy. What is this game?
It's a classic. It's a classic. But
it's a classic. Oh my god.
I'm not even sure I'm not able to find it anymore.
You can probably find it. It was quite well known at the time.
Yeah. But it's probably terrible by today's standards. Because I assume that in the 10 years that I haven't played any RPG Maker games, they have improved immensely and are like great things nowadays.
Yeah, it's, I went back and replayed a Blurred Line last year, and that hasn't aged particularly well.
Yeah. So, what else do we have to talk about today?
We could talk about our most hated features of RPG Maker games. Anybody who turns the move speed below 3 and disables dashing.
But that's for atmospheric movement when you move slowly through the gorgeous environmental mapping that people who like mapping have done.
If I have to be honest, I think the default movement speed is way too high for me. I would make that one the dash movement speed.
I can live with 3.
Yeah, 3 and 4 when dashing is okay for me.
Yeah, I think my worst ever review was for a game that had a movement speed of 1.
Oh my god. And I assume it also had enormous maps, because you really have to enjoy the mapping. which maybe was lousy.
It was a 1.5 star review. It was Ghost Suburb Zero. Sorry to whoever made it, I can't remember. It was just so slow. The maps were quite big and enemies chased you and killed you on touch.
Oh, wow.
That's the worst.
One of those games.
Oh, well, actually, it might not have been killed you on touch. It might have forced you into a battle. I'm trying to remember it now. Years.
I've never really understood touch encounters that you can't escape from. Like, what's the point of having them if you can't escape them?
Maybe they just forgot to add that you can escape from those battles. Could it be that?
Well, I can't remember exactly. Maybe. It was just the movement speed, and then I can't remember if the save points went very far. I think I had to restart it at some point, and it was just so slow.
God, reach the next map, please. Move. Move faster, please.
So, this was the complaints podcast.
Yeah. That's the main topic.
We are having segments now. We had the interview segment, and then we had the complaints segment.
What was your two's most hated thing about RPG Maker games? Sheenan's is obviously if they go over 20 minutes.
Yeah, so old Pat, what's the worst thing about RPG Maker games?
The worst thing about RPG Maker games? Oh my. I don't know if I can't answer because there's lots of things that aren't that great, or if because I can't really find something that is really that bad about RPG Maker games. But I think random encounters. I mean, random encounters are okay, but sometimes they just put too much frequency for those.
I half agree and half. I still think random encounters have a place in JRPGs.
I like
touch encounters, but the trouble is, I don't like generic sprite touch encounters. If I'm going to do it, I want to be able to see what the enemies are, so it's an art issue then for me. But I have started including, with difficulty settings in the last couple of games, the ability to reduce the random encounters if that's what you really don't like.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't like the frequency of some games that have random encounters. Like, you do one step and then you have another enemy spawning, something like that.
Oh, I hate it.
And then you also have slow movement speed.
The two combined would just be, you put the game down after 20 minutes, regardless of if it was finished. But the way the RPG makers are coded, for some silly reason, they don't really have a minimum number of steps between battles. So I usually change that, because when you set the encounter rate, the default is random number, say 1 in 30 plus random number 1 in 30, that's your encounter rate. So you could walk 2 steps and get into a fight, whereas I try to at least do it sort of the 30 plus random 30, so you at least have a bit of a break. Also, never in rooms with big puzzles that you have to actively solve.
So if you do Resident Evil style puzzles where you run around with an amulet from one side of a mansion to the other, then you shouldn't have too many random encounters.
Oh no, if you're just going from room to room, that if you've got to push boulders around to push get to a switch and thing, I really don't like dividing the attention between random battles and puzzle that's imminently being solved.
Oh yeah, when the map changes and then you go back and you don't even remember what you were doing.
Yeah, more like that. If the play, it's actually work on, like, I try to never, well, if I remember, never put them there.
I also think random encounters could work as the old Pokemon games used to do those. Like, you walk on a tall grass and you know that that's where enemies can be, instead of that all around the map.
It didn't last long, but there was a phase for RPG Maker games to, a bit like in you're a cave, they put cobwebs on some floor tiles, and those are where you'd find enemies, for example. But it did, that phase didn't last long. It was kind of like, not trapped squares, because you weren't guaranteed, but you can rope be high, but only on the clearly visible tiles.
Mm. Yes, it has to be a zone, something like that. Like a huge area, like tall grass or that.
Also,
I don't know.
I was going to say, also, I take you, if you haven't played the new Pokemon, Let's Go Eevee or Pikachu.
Yeah, I'm playing it and... There's a lot of things I don't like about that game.
Would you rather have the random encounters back? Because in the new one, you obviously have on-screen encounters, so you can see what you're going to fight. Would you rather have the random encounters?
I actually prefer the encounters on the tall grass, something like that. Mostly because now the tall grass is kind of pointless. I mean, why is there? I mean, it can hide some Pokemon, even if they are on the map. You can bump into them and they're hiding in the tall grass, so you can see them. But yeah,
I quite enjoy being able to see what I was going to fight. Whether I would have, if the catching mechanics or something, I don't know. I found it a very interesting Pokemon game. I'm curious what they're going to do now.
I find it interesting, but it made progression really easy, because catching Pokemon is easy, and then every time you do so, you gain a lot of experience points doing so.
You kind of did on the previous ones. They'd introduced experience for catching Pokemon a while ago.
Yeah. I mean, I stopped playing Pokemon after the third gen, so I don't know how things changed from there. I just recently started Let's Go Pikachu, so I don't know how many things from the new ones they took. But the fact that you could catch a Pokemon very easily with the catching mechanics, and then you could gain a lot of experience points for all your team, would make... If I stayed there farming for a long time, I could have a very strong team, because I gained experience points just like that.
Experience has been really easy to come by for several generations now. They started giving you the experience share after the first gym badge the last couple of generations. So all your team got all the experience from fighting. So they haven't been hard for a long time.
Okay. I thought they made it easier with Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
I mean, I wouldn't mind. One of the Pokemon games did come with a hard mode, but I had the other version that came with the easy mode, just because that was the natural version for me to buy based on the previous one I bought, so I didn't actually get to see what a hard mode Pokemon game was like.
Also, I remember the rival, your rival, being the strongest one when it comes to the first Pokemon he chooses. Like in the first game, when you choose, Bulbasaur, he takes Charmander. He always takes the Pokemon who is stronger than you. But this time, he has Eevee, and you have a Pikachu. Fighting skills, I mean, of the type that can kill Eevee with ease. So I don't know why. I mean, everything seems easier to me now.
Oh, when they remade the first gem previous time, they even gave Charmander a steel attack, which meant he could deal with Brock. I think they smoothed the edges off the early Pokemon games.
Yeah, I mean, it comes with improvements too, as well. I mean, yes, that's true. But I don't know. It seems really extremely easy. I mean, even the fact that you have to, when you have to go to Lieutenant Surge, the third gym trainer, and you have to learn the secret technique to cut the tree, which I don't know how it's called in English. And in the original game, it doesn't tell you that you have to learn that technique. But in this game, there's like someone there saying, oh, there's a tree here. You have to take this secret technique. When you take that, you exit the... You come back to the city and there's like there's him looking at you and like winking, saying, hey, you can use it now. Did you get it? Because you can use the technique now on this tree. I don't know. It seems like so much hand-holding. But, I mean, it's a Pokemon game. It's not like an hardcore JRPG series. So it's okay, I mean.
Oh, well, I can tell you a story about this from when I was a small child with my first Pokemon game that I'd imported from America rather than wait another year because I was so excited about it. And obviously my reading ability was not super great. There weren't any guides or things, and the internet was in its infancy. And I ended up restarting, believing I'd made my game uncompletable because I couldn't find Surf. And I mistakenly believed the previous gym's TM, which I'd already forgotten what it was called, I think, well, which would have been Toxic, which I know now as an adult. And I couldn't work out where in the world how I was supposed to surf, because they talked about it, but I could never find it. And so I restarted the game, and thankfully with slightly higher reading ability that came from a couple of months later, I did manage to complete it that time. But when I was, you know, that age, that would have been really helpful, knowing where to go next.
Yeah.
Whereas an adult, they're going to work out anyway. I kind of, they talk about hand-holding, but I mean, if it's just directing you where to go so you're not completely lost. I don't think Pokemon's one of those games where it's exploration-based. It's not like, say, a Metroid game.
Yeah, no, I actually understand what you mean. What I think it's okay, the hand-holding things, thing, but it would have implemented it in a much more subtle way, but I mean, it's always there, but in a much more elegant way. But I mean, it's okay, because I think that in the old games it was like the opposite, like you didn't have any direction at all, like where to go. You have to just scout back all the areas you've been in and see if you can use cut on that tree or if you can surf on that water there. So it's like the opposite.
Yeah, I mean, at the number of times I went through the rock tunnel without Flash. But the first two times through the game, and then after that I found Flash. But I didn't bother with it because it was a useless skill, and to replace it was awkward because TTMs are one use. I mostly do the rock tunnel in the dark.
Yeah, I did that too. Because it was better that way. I mean, it was faster for me. I said, okay, let's go like this. I mean, I remember it gave you some light around you anyway, even if you didn't use Flash, right? So you had
some light. Yeah, you see that one square around you.
Yeah, I remember that. Where's Shinan, by the way?
He doesn't do Pokemon.
Well, I played Pokemon Red when it came out, but I just found this was the greatest thing, because this was the podcast, and I'm the host, and I didn't even need to say anything. You just talked, and it was perfect.
You just gave us the path, and we just walked along it.
Yes.
Best.
But I wonder now, I mean, this is probably over an hour by now, so
yes,
probably a proper length. So maybe if it's okay for you, we could just end this podcast.
It's okay with me.
It's okay.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much. Sorry for my bad English.
No, it wasn't
so bad. No, your English was fine.
It was very good. So
I blocked myself so many times. I mean, I sometimes didn't know what to say. Sorry.
So that was the RMN podcast attempt, episode 0. And we'll see if and how it releases. And say bye and the name of your games.
Okay. Bye and vote for Psylocke.
Goodbye, and possibly play one of my many games. To you, or Abyssal Shine, Neveltica.